Blog Talk Radio.
And the 1-1. Sammy drives one. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. I don't believe it.
One ball, two strikes. The Pets take. Cubs win the division. Cubs win the division. Cubs win the division.
The 2-1. Swung on. There she goes.
This is Sports Sanity Live. Come and talk sports with us. Join the conversation by calling 347-826-9889. That's 347-826-9889. Join now.
All right, and everybody, welcome into Sports Sanity. We are live. This is your host, E-Rock, and I'm joined again by my co-host, Alex. Jordan will be joining us in a little bit. We're going to primarily talk some Bears football in the beginning of this show. That's why he's not going to join us right away, because obviously me and Alex are the Bears fans, so we're going to kind of break we'll be on to his Bears. Also, we have our quick question. Predicted what are that are going to be in the playoffs, who's going to be eventual winner. Couple award picks, MVP, rookie of the year, all that kind of fun stuff. This is kind of our big NFL preview show. Bears play in 6 days. It's right around the corner, and the NFL season kicks off in 3 days. And also, we will be doing our week-by-week predictions, so probably Friday. We'll predict the Thursday night game tonight, so we'll probably have that show Friday, but we're not 100% sure.
I don't know the last thing that was said, but yes, we will be having our week-by-week prediction show on Friday, most likely, so definitely stay tuned for that. That'll be some fun there. We did it last year as well, week-by-week. Alex obviously won. So that'll probably be Friday. Like I said, I'll get all the guys together to see when the best time is for that, but look for that Friday. We will be making the Thursday night pick tonight. So we're going to jump right in here. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad, not too bad. Quick switch note here to the Cubs. Not a good day so far for the Cubs today. Arrieta looked like he went out with an injury, and it didn't look good.
It didn't. I just saw the video. I'm not a doctor. I don't like, going right to conclusions or anything, but it did not look particularly good.
No, it definitely didn't, and this late in the season, that's not going to be good. And we'll definitely talk some more Cubs baseball later in the week and hopefully get some good news back on that. But with Lester just coming back, Arrieta going down, it looks like that. And Javi's Baez got hurt the other day, but it looks like that's just a minor little thing. So we'll see what happens. But let's hope everything shakes out well for the Cubs here in September. But let's jump into it, Alex. We got the Chicago Bears left as the last team to predict. Like I said, we will do a quick NFC West predictions after we're done talking with the Bears, kind of who we have winning. But let's jump into it, Alex. 2017, we've seen the preseason. We've seen what Trubisky can do. We see some of the, pluses of this team heading into the year. Are you excited for the Bears in 2017, and what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, there are definitely things that I am looking forward to on the Bears, particularly their defense, I think, right now is what I'm looking forward to most. Just because, right now, Trubisky, who I think is obviously the biggest, most important asset in this franchise, will not be starting. It's been made official that Mike Glennon is going to be the starter. So for right now, I'm going to say I'm going to look forward to the defense. The front seven looks really good. And if they stay healthy, I think they'll create a lot of problems for the offense of the opponent this coming year. I'm also very much looking forward to seeing Jordan Howard and Terry Cohen work together and having a guy like Benny Cunningham on that running back core. So there is some stuff to look forward to on this team. It's just you have the dreads of A, tough schedule, B, this team's already had some injuries to key players, C, this team has a track record of losing their key players to injury, and D, obviously, though, that there is improvement, we do pretty much know this team is not built to contend this year, and I think it's fair to say that this is going to be the last year where we can use the rebuilding excuse because, by another year, it's not going to be very valid anymore.
And I think that's a big point, because in the NFL, you don't have the luxury of doing a Chicago Cubs rebuild. You don't have the luxury of waiting, you know, 3-4 years plus to kind of get the rebuild going. Like, that Cubs rebuild was a long one. And as fans, we withstood it. We went through it. And I don't think in the NFL you have the luxury to sit back and to take an extreme long time to do it. And the Bears, it's been a while since they've been in the playoffs. And I think that we need John Fox to step up. You know, we need him to be the guy that we hired him to be. He's always kind of had that third-year magic or second-year magic. And I wasn't extremely ecstatic about the John Fox hiring, but he's the guy they got. He's the guy Ryan Pace went with. And I think it's time. He is very much on the hot seat heading into this year. I think that overall this team has a lot more looking to look forward to than it did. It seemed like midway through last season. I think me and you both had the Bears last year close to 500, which sounds crazy now. But I like you said, there's things on this team to look forward to. And there was times late last season, there was nothing to watch on the Bears outside of Jordan Howard. Obviously we have the quarterback situation, which might not come into play until a few games midway through the season. But you got a lot of nice young players. Eddie Jackson, you mentioned Tariq Cohen, who has been really dynamic and explosive at the running back position. You know, offensively, you also have it, and that was one of the players I was really excited to watch was Cameron Meredith. Obviously, he went down, which was huge. You still have Kevin White, Kendall Wright, a couple other guys there. The receiving core is obviously shaky, especially with that Meredith injury. The offensive line isn't bad. I think that, you know, it's better than a lot of the lines Cutler had back in the day. I think you can actually look at the offensive line as a strength for this team. But we're going to get into all the position groups. Yeah, we're going to get to all the position groups in a minute. But before we do that, Alex, was 53-man roster is final now. Was there anyone you were surprised to see cut or wanted to see remain on the team? I know the big one out there is the Tanner Gentry one, especially with Meredith going down, Victor Cruz being cut. It seemed like there was a spot for him on this team. That didn't happen. Is there any other surprises, or if you want to talk on the Gentry one as well, what did you think of the final 53-man roster? Also, Jeremy Langford got the boot as well.
Yeah, there were some things that did surprise me, like the 5 tight ends and 5 wide receivers. I thought that was very, very odd when it was first announced Saturday, because we knew Victor Cruz was going to get cut. He can't really move anymore. He can't catch anymore. He didn't have a good preseason. He was good as gone. Jeremy Langford didn't really surprise me either, considering that there were 3 more competent backs that were healthier in front of him, because you're not going to start over Jordan Howard. Tariq Cohen was drafted for a reason. Benny Cunningham has the special teams ability, so you're going to want to keep that. Plus, he had a good preseason. Wasn't too surprised about Harold Jones-Corte either. I thought he was going to get cut. Was a little surprised to see Kadeem Carey go on IR. I didn't think it was as serious as it was, but apparently it is. But, right now it's down to 4 tight ends, looking at the latest updated, Brenneker slashed. So you have Deion Sims, Zach Miller, Adam Shaheen, Daniel Brown, you know, right there. Trey McBride was added. I thought that was kind of interesting to the wide receiver core. And they added fullback Michael Burton. I thought that was kind of unexpected, but, you know, okay, I guess. So things, you know, obviously things change constantly throughout the season with injuries and whatnot. But, you know, I'm not too surprised about a lot of the cuts. But, yeah, I thought Tanner Gentry was going to make the roster right away.
Yeah, I did too. He's kind of been like the big kind of unheard of name heading into camp, and he kind of really put on a show, made that big touchdown catch in the Tennessee preseason game. Like you said, I don't see a huge list of shocks here. I think Langford, at the end of the day, had a really good rookie year. A lot of people were high on him. And a lot of other running backs just stepped up. When you look at Benny Cunningham and what Tariq Cohen could do, there just really wasn't a spot for him anymore. I think it kind of comes down to that. And even you last year, even though Langford came in as a starter and a lot of people were high on him, you said Jordan Howard. You were one of the first people I know that I spoke with that said, let's see what Jordan Howard can do. I think he's got something special, and you were right. He went on and did what he did. So definitely some big stuff there. Let's look at some of the additions they made in the offseason before we break it down position group. They did add Prince Amakimora. Obviously, we talked about Benny Cunningham. Quinton Demps looks like he'll be a starter at safety. Jay Howard, Mark Sanchez, backup quarterback. Marcus Wheaton, Kendall Wright at the receiver spot. Deion Sims at the tight end spot, another crowded position there with Miller, Sims, and Shaheen. Marcus Cooper, cornerback. Is there any of these guys you see being a big difference maker in this team? Demps looks like he'll be a starter. Cooper looks like he'll play quite a bit, corner, starter. And obviously the receivers, Wright and Wheaton, although we haven't really seen Wheaton yet. It looks like a lot of these additions could be seeing a lot of playing time for the Bears. Did you like a lot of the moves they made? It wasn't any huge splashes, which I remember me and you talking about. We liked that because they did have a ton of cap room. They knew they didn't need to make huge splashes, but a nice few signings here. What did you think about the players they got?
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's nothing too big, but obviously you got to fill roles in somewhere, so you just got to do what you got to do. You talked about Quinton Demps, and that's kind of a guy I'm looking at to be that big veteran presence in the backfield, or in the secondary, just because you got some rookies out there and some younger guys with not as much experience. Obviously, Eddie Jackson, the rookie, is going to be a guy that a lot of people are watching, and you'll have some of your guys like in the corner with Crevon LeBlanc, who was on the team last year, Kyle Fuller, who didn't play last year. So you're going to need a guy like Quinton Demps to be a veteran leader out there. And it seems like so far that's kind of been the case. But yeah, I'm looking at him to be a solid role filler and be, you know, good kind of guy to fill in and be there until hopefully the Bears could add more safety depth in the future. But for right now, I think he could be an important placeholder.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Bears do seem to sign veteran safeties to kind of be a placeholder. Obviously, they hit, I don't want to say gold in Amos a couple years ago, but he's done a really, really good job in where he was drafted considering, and he looks like to be the other starter there. Obviously, the cornerback position's a little sketchy. Kyle Fuller, I've never really been high on him, and he just seems to be more on his way out every day. Obviously, he's on the team, but I'm looking at the depth chart right now, and he's not anywhere really close to, you know, he might be the three, maybe the four guy even. I mean, it's Bryce Callahan might be the nickel over him. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure how they'll line up on opening week, but it's going to be interesting. But let's break it down, Alex. Let's break it down position group by position group here and kind of give a plus minus or kind of give a grade on each one heading into the season. And we'll start right away with the quarterback position. Obviously they signed Mike Glennon in the offseason, big contract. Although a lot of that is this year. Is there zero guaranteed money after year one? I think we heard many times. So that is big. This could be a 1-year experiment. That was the case. Even when they signed drafted Trubisky, we were going to give Glennon the whole year, show his stuff. And again, the more we've seen Trubisky, the man, the myth, the legend here in Chicago who got booed when he was drafted, got booed at the Bulls game when he appeared. Now everyone in the city absolutely loves him and wants him to start. Tell me about this quarterback situation in Chicago. It's definitely an interesting one.
Yeah, and John Fox today said that they have supposedly a plan, but they're not going to expose any of it to the public. So that either tells me that they're being way too over-secretive and way too paranoid about this, or they really don't have much of a plan and they're just kind of saying that. We know that Mike Glennon is the starter in week one. It's been confirmed. We saw it coming for a while. The truth of the matter is they're going to ride Glennon out as best, as much as they can. They signed him to that contract, and it's not like Glennon, if he goes out there and has a mediocre game, they're just going to be like, oh, okay, you're done, or something goes wrong. Oh, you're done. No, they're really going to try to ride him out as much as they can. And, you know, right now, when it comes to grading the quarterback position, I just got to put a big NA because I don't know what to make. In terms of what Trubisky is going to be in an NFL game, I think he's showing so much promise, but he's still got a lot of development to do. I'm really not too high on Mike Glennon. I thought in the offseason that he could be maybe decent, but from what I've seen in the preseason, just with the way he throws and where he throws, that's not starting quarterback NFL 2017 right there. I mean, this is such a passer's game, and he hasn't really shown me much to improve on. Yeah, he can make dumb passes, and short passes and screens, but when it comes to throwing downfield, I don't know. It's just that's something you need out of a starting quarterback, and I don't think Glennon brings much of that. So if I had to give it a letter, maybe I'd give it a C. Just, you know, I don't want to say it's terrible because there's a lot of mystery, but I don't want to say it's great either. And then so Mark Sanchez is Mark Sanchez, and he's kind of there. So that's probably one of the toughest ones to grade.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd give you right there with a C as well, because as we know, the Bears fans are going to be clamoring for Trubisky from the first snap of the season.
Of
the second Glennon throws an interception, we already know what's going to happen. Hell, I've kind of, as even though I'm realistic, I'm almost on that train already. I'm like, I just want to see Trubisky play. I want something to watch, but I understand.
I think we all do.
Right, I understand the process and what's involved. And I was kind of with you on the Glennon thing. When they got him in the offseason, before we even knew they were going to get a quarterback, because I think we all assumed the Bears were going to draft a quarterback at some point in the draft. Was
right.
it going to be in the first round? I don't think anyone thought that, and I remember being shocked when they traded up to the second pick. And even when they did trade up, I remember most of the analysts thought the Bears were trading up to get Solomon Thomas, not to get Mitchell Trubisky. So that draft night was a wild one, and it changed Chicago's landscape for a long time. And obviously Trubisky's been great in the preseason. In fact, they're really, and I know it's against backups, but there really isn't much you can look at for him to improve upon based on what we've seen. Obviously he's a rookie, so there's going to be some bumps and bruises, but from actually watching him play in those games, he looked great. I mean, I don't know any other word for it, other just great. And you're right, with Glennon, I was also, I don't want to say high on him, but when they signed him in the offseason, I go, that's a decent guy that really hasn't started a lot in the league that I think can be an above-average quarterback. And on his career, 30 touchdowns to 15 interceptions, the numbers don't look bad, but you're right. Watching him in preseason, seeing some of the practice clips, it looks almost – I don't know how – he just looks slow, methodical, not much going for him at all. I mean, there's just not a whole lot going for Mike Glennon. And if you're not going to be mobile, which he's definitely not, you got to be able to make those throws. And like you said, he doesn't really have that great of an arm. I mean, he's doing a lot of these dump throws, a lot of inaccuracy. So when it comes to him starting this season, I kind of look at him as the hitting dummy. Now, I know this. I said the line was good. The offensive line is good, so I'm not saying he's going to get sacked a ton. But you mentioned that schedule, which we'll get into in a bit. Those first 6, 7, 8 games are not only against good teams, against pretty damn good defenses. And I wonder if he's kind of the hitting dummy for these defenses, because that's a brutal, brutal schedule. And I honestly wonder if it wasn't for as tough as a schedule as the beginning of this Bears season is, I wonder if Glennon would have a shorter leash. I think he has a longer leash because of the schedule. Like you mentioned, he's going to make mistakes and the Bears are just going to roll with it. And I think a lot of that has to do with the schedule. So I'm right there with you. I'll give it a C. But as far as potential, Trubisky, even though early preseason, early training camp, we heard how he wasn't looking too good, he's taken a while to get used to the system, he kind of shunned all those rumors and looked really, really good in the preseason games. So I think the outlook is good for the quarterback position with Trubisky. But as of right now, heading into 2017 with Glennon under center, not the greatest. Let's talk about the running backs, receivers, tight ends. We'll kind of wop all the skill positions together. Obviously, Jordan Howard last year, rookie, ran for a ton of yards. If it wasn't for Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott, the Dallas combination, he probably could have won rookie of the year. He was that good last year, especially for a guy that I don't think started until week 3 or week 4. He wasn't even active the first game of the season, if you remember. I mean, that's just crazy. But he was able to do a lot, 1,300 yards on the ground, only 6 touchdowns. You'd like to see him get in the end zone more, especially when 3 of those touchdowns were in a single game against Arizona. But overall, can't go wrong with the running back. I think he's a top 10 running back in the league right now, especially after last year. He looks the real deal. I think he's the definition of a balanced running back. He can run right through the tackles. He can kind of, I don't want to say burn you with his speed, but he's got decent speed all around, just a really balanced running back. Receivers and tight ends wise, this is where it gets a little sketchy. Jeffrey's gone. Meredith down. Kevin White, an extremely huge question mark heading into his third season. And I'll tell you what, Alex, when he did play last year, he looked he didn't look explosive at all. And I know it's an extremely small sample size, but when he was healthy for those couple games last year, he did not look good.
No.
Other receivers, obviously Wheaton, Wright. We haven't seen Wheaton much at all. Got him from Pittsburgh. And then the tight ends, another injury-prone guy. Zach Miller, when he's on the field, looks really good. Actually, he looks like a really solid tight end, but he gets hurt a ton, which is why they also got Deion Sims, and they do have the rookie Shaheen. I wonder how much he'll play as a second rounder with the tight end depth. I think depth-wise, the tight end position is really good, but you do got to worry about the injury concerns. Tell me what you think about these skill position guys, running backs, receivers, tight ends.
Well, I think that by far the most talented and probably most solidified aspect of the three you just listed are the running backs. I mean, I already pretty much summed up what I thought of the running back core. You have Jordan Howard, sophomore year, coming off 1,313 rushing yard rookie season while missing the first two games as a starter. He was a backup, but he wasn't the starter. And then you got the Tyree Cohen, then you got Benny Cunningham. I mean, that right there, that's pretty darn good, and I really like that a lot. And that can cause a lot of problems for opposing defenses this season. Now, tight ends, tight ends are not bad. They're not great, but I'd say they're serviceable and decent. I mean, Zach Miller is solid. Deion Sims can be pretty decent. Daniel Brown, you know, I don't have much to say about him, but it's not bad. As long as Zach Miller stays healthy, he can do some pretty good things out there. And that I'd give like kind of a B minus kind of range. Running backs, I'd give A. Wide receivers, I'd probably give probably a C. I don't think there's really anything that scares you in terms of wide receiver depth on this team. Now, if you look at what you have, Kendall Wright can be a decent guy. He'd be a really good second or third string guy on another team, but this is going to be a guy you're going to have to rely on a lot. So Kevin White, who the hell knows what he is? Deontay Thompson, he plays special teams. Josh Bellamy, special teams. At least Thompson can catch the ball. Josh Bellamy, we've seen, has had problems. We haven't seen much of Marcus Wheaton. Yeah, there's just really nothing special. I think a C is the best, absolute best you can go with this wide receiver core. They're probably a C-plus with Cameron Meredith, and losing Cameron Meredith is really a tough blow because of what everything else there is. There's just nothing great there. I think they cut pretty much the right guys except for Tanner Gentry. Victor Cruz obviously wasn't going to cut it, and a few of those other string guys that you know weren't going to make it either way. But yeah, running backs by far the best, tight ends decent, wide receivers meh.
Right, I'm kind of the same way with that as well. I think running backs, and you know, Tariq Cohen, like we've seen, can be a very versatile guy in the backfield. I don't think he's ever going to be a 20-25 carry starting running back in the league, but he honestly looks like a Darren Sproles just type of small guy that can find his holes, make a couple moves. They call him the human for a reason. He looks really solid, and especially in that preseason game. Again, it's preseason, but I think he'll find his way onto the field quite a bit this year, and I think he's a good complement to Howard, especially in passing situations as well. Like you said, the receivers with Meredith could be a C+. I really wanted to see what Meredith can do, being like that number one guy coming into the year, because he had 66 receptions last year, over 800 yards, 4 touchdowns, being the number one guy, only 24 years old. I was really curious to see if he could kind of emerge as a number one guy, maybe over 1,000 yards, maybe 8+ touchdowns. I was really wanting to see that. That's not going to happen. So Kevin White is, you could argue, is our number one right now, obviously him and Kendall Wright. But Kevin White is our number one, Alex, a guy that's caught how many passes in his career? Let me see here. 19. He had 19 receptions last year for 187 yards, under 10 yards a reception. And like I said, when I did see him play last year, not explosive at all. Did not look like he had the speed or the playmaking ability he had in college. Again, extremely small sample size, but we're entering year three. He's 25 years old, which is crazy to think that Cameron Meredith is actually younger than him. I mean, it feels like we've barely been able to see what Kevin White can do, which is the truth. But, man. I just want to see, is he going to break out or not? Because I honestly think it is a make-or-break year for him. Even if he's healthy the whole year and he doesn't do anything, it might be time to cut the cord. Because I don't see what we've seen in him so far, and it's nothing pretty at all. So I think you're right. Receiver C could even maybe go C minus D plus. There is just not a whole lot going on there.
I mean, I would probably lean towards C minus. Let's be real here. Again, C plus if Cameron Meredith is there, because yeah, I mean, you take Cam Meredith away, that's leaning towards C minus.
Right, exactly, and it's going to be. And again, that might be another reason Glennon's leash is longer, because who the hell is Trubisky going to throw to? And I think Glenn's going to try to find some guys and have him break out a little bit, and then maybe the Bears will feel more comfortable throwing Trubisky in there. But this is a pretty abysmal receiving core overall. Let's take it to the big guys up front. Offensive line, obviously don't need to spend a whole lot of time on it. But I give this team a good grade offensive line, which is something you don't usually say with the Chicago Bears. Charles Leno, Kyle Long moving back to the left guard position. Cody Whitehair at center was a huge, I don't want to say surprise. A lot of people were high on him when he was drafted, but he emerged as a fantastic center last year, already regarded as one of the better centers in the league. Obviously, Josh Sitton, who we got from the Packers last year early in before the season started. He's at the right guard position. And Bobby Massey may be the one guy you can kind of not be too high on at right tackle. But overall, I'd say this is an above-average offensive line, and I think that's good.
Oh, yeah.
If Trubisky goes in there, he can be protected. Glennon should be protected. So even though the offensive playmakers outside of Jordan Howard aren't there, they should be able to run the ball well and protect Glennon when he needs to throw. What do you think of the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it's one of the best ones in terms of talent. You have two of the best guards in football there. You got a really good guy center. Your tackles are they're not amazing, but they can get the job done. They're better on the run than they are the pass. But Bobby Massey, he struggled last year to start, but he came around to be okay. Like again, nothing great, but he looked better as time went on. But overall, if you have two Pro Bowl guards and they're playing and you have who you have in the center, it's with that, it's something that's going to be really important in the future, especially if you're going to put Trubisky in there at some point. So, yeah, I'd say it's definitely a strength of this team. But the concern I have is Kyle Long going to be ready? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be in full shape? I mean, that's the biggest concern I have is Kyle Long.
Agreed, because Kyle Long has been battling some injuries here for a little bit. Obviously, he's been extremely, extremely good for this team ever since he was drafted in the first round. You know, three-time Pro Bowler, been there, done that, done a great job, even had to move around. He's had to move around almost the entire line since he's been in Chicago. And he's done a really, really good job of that. And he's back in his most natural position at the guard position. And you're right, you do got to wonder, all right, is he going to come back 100% healthy? Because that is a huge cog in the lineup that needs to be there. And right now his status is uncertain for the opener. So even if he does somewhat miss the opener, it doesn't sound like it's a long-term injury, but hopefully it's not a lingering one once the season does get underway. But, yeah, I like this offensive line a lot. I think, like I said, it's going to let Howard run the ball, hopefully set up a lot of third and short situations where Glennon isn't asked to do a whole lot. And if your team's going to be – not predicted to do very well, I think having a good offensive line up front is definitely a good piece to start, and especially drafting Trubisky, and we'll probably bring him up quite a bit during the show. That's really important, having a good offensive line. There could be nothing more detrimental to a quarterback's development than throwing him in there with a horrible offensive line where he's running for his life every single play. So I think having a good offensive line is extremely, extremely huge, maybe the most important thing on this team in 2017. Let's switch to the defense now, Alex. Obviously, it's the 3-4 defense from – oh, hold on real quick before I do that. Offensive totals for this team last year, meant to bring that up. This team last year offensively was actually 15th in the league last year, which is right in the middle of the league, right at average. They were 14th passing-wise, and that was with the bevy of different quarterbacks they had under center. And then rushing offense, they were 17th. So they're right in the middle on passing and rushing last year. And now we're going to take a turn to the defense. Before we do take that turn to the defense, I don't know if the Bears will be able to put up those same offensive numbers with Cameron Meredith out. But who's to say someone doesn't step up? Maybe Kevin White steps up. Maybe a Wheaton. Maybe a Wright. We will see.
Yep.
But, yeah, let's take a turn to the defense now, Alex. Vic Fangio's 3-4 defense. I'll tell you what, I still have not gotten used to the Bears running a 3-4 defense. It's weird to see after watching that cover 2-4-3 defense from my entire life watching the Bears.
Yeah.
But this is a defensive unit that also was 15th in the league last year, a lot better than when Mel Tucker was a defensive coordinator not too long ago. Vic Fangio's done a really nice job with this defense, and let's start with the big boys up front. Defensive line, Akeem Hicks stepped up big last year, really good. Eddie Goldman is starting to head into his own at the big man in the nose tackle, and Mitch Unrein, he was pretty darn good last year too. I actually like the front three of this team, and I'll actually give it a B. I think I like the front three on this team. I think they're big bodies that can kind of get the job done. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, they're reliable. Like you said, they could get the job done. I think it's a very talented front three. I think that they're going to do a lot of good things this year if they stay healthy. I'm going to say if they stay healthy over and over and over, and I can't stress that enough with the Chicago Bears because of how injury prone they've been for the past decade. So, yes, on paper, they do what they're supposed to do. I think you got a really good core right there.
Yeah, and I like how you mentioned the stay healthy thing, because you could always say, well, you could say that for any team, but I think especially the Bears, Alex, because
yeah.
I'll be honest. If there's one thing, you can look at many position groups and say they can improve here, they can improve there. This team doesn't have a ton of depth, in my eyes.
No, it doesn't.
Offensively, it does not at all, outside of maybe tight end and running back. And then defensively, I don't see a whole lot of depth outside of maybe I think they have some good backup linebackers in Kwiatkowski, Sam Acho. But other than that, I'm not seeing a lot of depth on the line or in the secondary at all. So injuries are going to play a huge part on this team. They need to stay healthy. But obviously, me and you both like the D-line. Let's move it to the linebackers here now, Alex. And they did cut Lamar Houston, I heard, right? Is that
– Well, he's on the IR.
Okay, he is on the IR. Okay, so that's the case. And Lamar Houston and yeah, because it's weird, because I saw he said goodbye to Chicago in an Instagram post, but now I'm seeing he's on the IR, so I'm not quite sure what the situation is there.
Yeah,
but
I'm
either way,
a little confused myself, but I don't think we'll see Lamar Houston again in a Bears uniform.
Me neither, and it's sad because Willie Young and Lamar Houston both came on, and they're pretty talented pass rushers, but again, both have been kind of injury prone, but both have had decently successful times when they've been on the field, but that's not been the case. But Willie Young, Jarrell Freeman, who was really good last year, I liked him a lot up until his suspension. He came out of nowhere and was just flying all over the field last year. Danny Trevathan is also a guy that you got to look at. Obviously, they signed him last year. He was kind of their big offensive or defensive signing. He obviously was also a little bit banged up last year, only 66 tackles, one sack. So we're looking for him to have a bounce back year. And then also, we can't forget about Pernell McPhee. And
yeah.
Pernell McPhee is another guy that has been a little hurt, but when he has been on the field, 2015, when he was on the field, six sacks, he disrupted the offenses. I remember watching that in 2015, really good at disrupting the offense. 2016, also banged up. But in his limited time playing last year, four sacks. If he's on the field, kind of similar to a lot of these guys, and as you mentioned, injuries, you add in Leonard Floyd. If this linebacker core is healthy, I like them a lot too. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I do too. I mean, obviously you got a lot of talent there. Jarrell Freeman was a good pickup last year. So was Danny Trevathan. You have guys that have veteran experience and have played in big games, but are still, you know, young enough to perform well while on the field. Nick Kwiatkowski has made himself quite a name during the preseason. Looking forward to watching him. The one I'm really looking forward to watching this year is Leonard Floyd. I think this is his time to really break out and shine. And he's had some great preseason games early on. And this is time for him to go out there and show why Pace drafted him. You know, a lot of people are kind of mixed on their feelings on drafting him, but I think he could be a great asset to this team. And Willie Young has just been consistently good since coming here. He kind of came out of nowhere. Was it in 2014? And since then has really been a good asset in the linebacking core. You know, it's kind of funny, just a few years ago, the linebacking core was one of the biggest weaknesses on this team. And, you know, now you got some guys that seem to be reliable, that have some talent, and hopefully that translates all into this year.
I agree. I mean, it was really weird for those couple seasons when the Bears linebacking core was the worst in the league. And it was abysmal. It was bad. And now, And again, I'm not saying there's any superstars in this linebacking core either, but I think they're all above average football players. And you're right, Leonard Floyd, because we kind of know what we're getting from Trevathan at 28. I know he's hurt, but we've seen him play in Denver. We know what we're getting in Willie Young. Freeman as well can fly over the field and get tackles. If there's one dude that's got even more upside than they've shown, you're right, it is Leonard Floyd. And count me among the people that were a little skeptical of him being drafted a year ago. I thought at most he would be a very good pass rusher on third down situations. I wasn't sure how he would be as a run stopper, this or that. He surprised me. 7 sacks last year as a rookie, yep. 33 tackles. I always thought his size was going to be a factor, which was the thing that a lot of people were saying. But he is so fast off the football, sometimes that doesn't matter. I mean, he is just so fast. His first step is explosive. We heard it when he was drafted. 7 sacks last year. And you're right, Alex. If he can step up a little bit, I know sacks aren't the end-all, be-all, but if he can get that to double digits this year or possibly beyond, maybe the Vic Beasley, you know, of the Atlanta Falcons,
yeah.
He could be a core piece for a long time on this team. And obviously, I've even heard he has bulked up a little bit more, got a little bit stronger, which is what this team wanted. I'm really, really excited to see what he can do in year two for this Bears team. Because, like I said, count me as one of them. I wasn't thrilled with the pick. I wasn't totally against it, but I wasn't thrilled with it. And I'm glad so far he's proven me wrong. But overall, I give the linebackers a solid B. Like I said, I don't think there's any superstar linebackers, but I don't think you can look at any one of them and go, ah, he's replaceable. I think all these guys are good NFL linebackers.
Yeah,
what's your grade on?
Yeah, I think a B is a very, very good way to put it. Maybe a B plus if they all stay healthy.
Right.
Because, yeah, there's definitely a lot of talent there, and it's talent that you say, oh, he's solid. He's a good guy to have on a team. And that's what you say about a number of these guys. But, yeah, it's not like you have a Brian Urlacher or you know, someone who's the best of the best or in the top five. But you have a lot of good, solid guys in there. And you know, sometimes it's better to have just a nice spread of solid guys than just one really great guy and mediocre the rest. So I kind of see it as kind of evenly spreading out the talents, and that can translate into something good, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. And like you said, we might have got spoiled when we were watching, you know, 10 years ago when they were throwing out 2 Hall of Fame linebackers and Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher. But it is nice. You know, as much as Bears fans have wanted an offense that can put up points on the board, and I wanted it too, there was something really off-putting when the Bears defense was bad. I mean, it just did not look right. It didn't sit right. It felt bad. And now that the defense is starting to pick it up again and be at least league average and could potentially be higher this year, that has me excited because those couple years where they couldn't stop anybody at any time running or throwing the football, that was really hard to watch as a Bears fan and really odd to see.
Yeah.
But let's take it to the defensive backs. Let's go to the secondary, safeties, and corners. This is the part of the defense I'm a little bit more worried about. I think you mm-hmm. have some veteran guys in there, like a Demps, like a Makamura. I'm a little worried about the other side. Cooper's shown he can seem like he can make some plays. We'll see. Kyle Fuller, not high on him. I think that was a misstep as a pick, and it's not looking like it's panning out well. Adrian Amos is kind of really the only lone young guy there. A lot of veterans here, and it seems like that's been status quo for the Bears in the secondary. Even in the Trestman Emery era, it really seems like the Bears have kind of wanted that veteran secondary. And that seems to be the case here. Marcus Cooper last year, though, did have 4 interceptions with the Cardinals, so they're hoping he can bring that over here. But very veteran secondary, Alex. Do you like it?
I don't love it. I don't think it's spectacular, but I think it can be somewhat serviceable, and I think that having a good front 7 is really going to help that out. I think that there are some decent pieces here. Eddie Jackson can be a very good asset if he develops right, so there's promise there. Quentin Demps, like I said earlier, could be just a good veteran presence out there to make some plays and help some of the younger guys. Cornerbacks, I don't know. Cornerbacks look a little sketchy to me. Nothing really stands out as anything great. I don't say I really like it, but we've seen worse. Let's just say that. I think it's potential to be, I don't know, average at best, if you look at it from a whole.
Right, yeah, and that's kind of my take on it as well. I mean, Quinton Demp last year had a really good year, 6 interceptions with the Houston Texans, but again,
yeah.
So that is that front seven. He is 32 years old, and, you know, the Bears have mixed and matched secondaries, veteran guys, and we'll see how much he has left in the tank. Who's to say he's not another one-year placeholder for an Eddie Jackson? Because we've heard rave things about Eddie Jackson, Alex. I remember he was drafted. A lot of people said he honestly has a first-round, possibly second-round talent if he was healthy. So they did draft another injury-prone-ish guy, but when he's actually on the football field, people are saying he's an absolute talent, an absolute beast out there. So I wonder how often we'll see him on the field this year. I'm excited to see what he has. But you're right, I'm not over-ecstatic about this secondary, and I'm right there with you. I would rather have a dominant front seven or especially a dominant defensive line that can get to the quarterback, because that will help your secondary. I'm a very big proponent of that. I think having, you know, the Texans, having J.J. Watt and Clowney and guys like that rushing the passer makes their secondary look a hell of a lot better than maybe it is. And I think that's the case. And I would rather have a dominant, dominant front seven than a secondary. Seattle Seahawks, they might disagree, you know, with Sherman, Chancellor, all those guys back there. But I like having a strong line, and I think that's going to be a key part for this Bears team. Overall, I think this defensive backs, they're going to make some mistakes, but the one thing I want to see from them this year, they got Demps, 6 interceptions. They got Marcus Cooper last year, 4 interceptions. I want to see this team force some turnovers. I want to see kind of a bend but don't break secondary that might give up some yards, might give up a few first downs a drive, but they can make plays when they're needed the most. Because I think this team, the last few years defensively, it hasn't been the greatest. I think they have missed the Charles Tillman punching out the football, the tip-up interceptions that this team was known for. I mean, people called the Bears when Lovie Smith was at the helm, they called those tip-up interceptions, those freak, you know, turnovers lucky.
Mm-hmm.
They're not lucky because we've not seen it the last 3 or 4 years, Alex, really at all. I think
no.
They practiced. Lovie Smith was there. They talked about fighting and flying to the football, and we just aren't seeing those turnovers. And I think maybe Cooper and Demps coming in, I really want to see them force some turnovers and make some plays on defense. So I'm hoping they can do that. That's my biggest thing. But
I agree. I think you said it great. I think that's my biggest question is the ability to force turnovers. I think that's what
right.
most people are asking.
Right, and I'm not looking for, you know, double-digit sack guys. Maybe Floyd could get there. You know, maybe, you know, a McPhee. Who knows? But I just want to see the secondary step up and make some plays and put the offense in good position. So we'll see if they're able to do that. All right, Alex. Give me one or two players you're looking forward to see this year. What are you looking at in the 2017 Bears? Name a couple guys.
I think obviously the biggest one is Mitchell Trubisky, because
right.
I guarantee he will be in there at some point, even though, like I said, they're going to try to ride Glennon as hard as they can. I just think it's inevitable. You're going to see Trubisky no matter what the situation is, whether Glennon is terrible, whether Glennon gets hurt, whether it's late in the season, you want to see what Trubisky can do. He will play at some point, and that is who I'm anticipating the most. Other players include Leonard Floyd. Like I said earlier, I want to see how he does again this year to kind of prove that he's going in there and he's ready to play and he's going to be a valuable asset to this team. I'm also looking at Jordan Howard to see how he responds in his sophomore year. Looking at Terry Cohen, seeing if he can translate his preseason and college success into the NFL, which I think he will. Because you saw how frustrated defenders were getting trying to tackle the guy, and he's just kind of weaving and diving and doing all sorts of great things, even though he's not very tall. I want to see Kyle Long healthy again. That's essential to this Bears team's success. I don't think there's any question there. And lastly, I really, really love Akeem Hicks, and I want to keep seeing him do what he does, because the guy's a monster and he's very underappreciated.
I agree. I couldn't have said it any better. I think a lot of the guys you mentioned are going to be – I think overall, Alex, there, even though me and you, I'm guessing, don't have this team doing all that well, there's things to watch on this team, and this wasn't necessarily the case last year, because I watched every Bears game. And there was times last year where I was like, why am I watching this team? I think even though this team isn't projected to do very well, I think there's definitely some fun things to watch that will keep us coming back week to week to see how they do, especially when Mitchell Trubisky gets in there. I want to, obviously, like you said, Trubisky, can't say that again. Receivers, I just want to see Kevin White. I want to see, is he a number one guy?
Yeah.
Is he that one draft pick? I really want to see that explosiveness from him this year. This is going to be his third year in the NFL, has barely been on the field at all. Let's see if he can step up. You mentioned Jordan Howard. Let's hope he didn't have a freshman slump, or hopefully he doesn't have a sophomore slump there. And then Leonard Floyd on defense. Pretty much the young core. I want to see what the young core can do because that's going to be the future of the Bears. So, that's kind of my thing to watch. But let me ask you this, Alex. You did mention Trubisky. When is he going to get in there?
Mm-hmm.
I know this is so far out. I know this is kind of very, very hard to predict. Put a game on the schedule where we're going to see Mitchell Trubisky in his debut.
Very, very good question.
If I had to pick, I'll start us off here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pardon me? I got a weird feeling. Obviously, that beginning of the schedule is tough. You could very well argue, I wouldn't doubt if you do have the Bears starting off 0-4, possibly 0-5, just because of the schedule. Maybe they sneak one out, maybe they don't. I don't know if they'd throw him in prime time, but I have a weird feeling October 15th against the Ravens. I know it's a road game. You usually want to start a guy at home. I'd say that Ravens game or the Panthers game. I think we're going to see Trubisky around then. I don't think it lasts 10 to 12 games in the year unless this team somehow is around the 500 mark. I think we see him around there, or possibly the Saints game because they're not known for their defense. I think right around that Ravens-Panthers area is when we're going to see him. And I hope it is the Panthers because me and Jordan are actually heading to that game. So I hope we're not seeing the last legs of Glenn and we're seeing the fresh legs of Trubisky. But tell me, game on the schedule. Where do you have him? Do you have Glennon lasting longer or lasting even less?
I think you took the words right out of my mouth. I had the same games kind of circled in right there against the Ravens and the Panthers. I said that seems kind of reasonable because I don't think that they're going to want to feed Trubisky to the Wolves right away because of the first five teams that would be feeding him to the Wolves. So I don't really see that happening where the Ravens and the Panthers, I think you'd have a better, easier time getting him in there. So, yeah, I got to agree with you. Now, again, you know, let's say Mike Glennon is doing adequate through those first few games. If that's the case, then I think they're going to just try to stick with him. But the thing is, I think that in some of those games, like against the Buccaneers and against like the Vikings defense, I think Glennon's going to really struggle. And that's going to prompt more and more of Trubisky getting in.
And I think he has to at least play average because I'm telling you what, I know Bears fans and football fans in general, it doesn't matter who you're playing against. If you show up and play miserable and horrible, they're gonna be calling for Trubisky's name. They're going to be calling for the first interception he throws. I mean, that's just going to be the case.
Yep.
That Falcons defense is going to be pretty good. Obviously, the NFC champion, the Buccaneers have a really good team this year. The Steelers are a really good – I mean, these are all playoff teams. Falcons, Buccaneers, Steelers, Packers, even the Vikings. That's a damn good defense. And I even thought maybe he comes in, but Monday Night Football against a good defense on the Vikings, not so sure on it. But you got to wonder, if Glennon throws two picks week one, two picks week two, how long of a leash does he have? I don't know, because them Bears fans are going to be calling for Trubisky's name, and the last thing you want to do is throw him in against top 10 defense, which could be the case. So, the other reason I said possibly the Vikings game, again, I know it's Monday Night Football, but they play Thursday night against the Packers, so they have a very long week until that Monday game. That's about 10 days. That's 10 days where Trubisky could come in and be the starter at practice. So look out. Again, it'd be really weird, and I think it'd get a little bit of criticism throwing him in on Monday Night Football. But that's a 10-day week where they could get him in and get him accustomed to the number one reps. So we'll see. But Jordan, I think Jordan's joining us now. He's going to get his take on the Bears as we predict their record. Are you with us, Jordan?
Hello.
All right, tell us, are we acting crazy about the Bears? I know you've seen Trubisky a tad little bit. Tell us what you think about the Bears in 2017.
I mean, you guys are pretty spot on with the Bears. You got to get what you see. You're not really going to, be too ecstatic about a team like this as your roster doesn't look like it's that exciting to begin with, but you have some pieces. You have, you know, Howard coming into his sophomore year. You want to see what he can do, if he can be your back of the future. Trubisky, you guys want to see what you can get at him. And like you guys said, your defense, it's going to be the biggest thing for you. It didn't do too bad last year. You're going to have to try to get kind of the same play out of those guys. And, I mean, you guys are just basically – you're playing this year to see what you have in place, what you can keep, and what you can basically scrap for next season.
Right, no doubt about it. And, you know, looking at the schedule again, it is absolutely brutal. But after the bye week, they do play Green Bay, Detroit, we're all not high on. But they go Detroit, Philly, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Detroit, Cleveland, Minnesota. That's a stretch of six games, depending on where the Bears are. Obviously, that's pretty late in the season, so we don't know if they're going to be – they could be horrible. Who knows? But I think that's an interesting stretch of games. Detroit, Philly, San Fran, Cincy, Detroit, Cleveland – winnable games, and you got to wonder if Trubisky gets thrown in around that time, he could maybe put up some numbers, so we'll see. But Jordan, start us off here. Prediction on the Bears 2017, where do you have them?
I mean, it's going to be a long season for you guys. I mean, you already know that, but for me, I have the Bears finishing 4-12.
All right, 4-12. Alex, let's hear it from you. Where do you have them finishing?
I'm going to go 5-11. Some people are saying a little more. Some people are saying a little less. I think that if this team stays mainly healthy, they'll win five games. They'll win mostly games against the opponents that you'd expect them to beat. One of those wins is going to be a big upset win, because no matter how good or bad the Bears are, every year they have that upset win. And I think that in a lot of these games, they may not win, but they'll be in the games. They'll make it close. They'll be competitive in the games. It's just, when they don't have enough to win, they're not going to win, but they at least have enough, I think, to stay competitive in the games.
Yeah, and like you said, depth's going to be huge. And if they don't have depth, you know, week 10, 11, 12, when they start playing those winnable games, those might not even become winnable. This team was a 3-win team last year. Jordan's got them at 4 wins, Alex at 5. I'll plus one that. I will say 6 wins. Even though that beginning schedule is really tough, and it is, those first 8 games are horrible, this team isn't bad enough where they're going to lose all 8. They're going to squeak 1 or 2 out, and I think this team gets off to a 2-6 start in those first 8 games. And then in the back half of the schedule, I think they can beat a Detroit. I think they can beat a San Fran. They can beat a Cleveland. They played Detroit twice, so who knows, Cincinnati. There's winnable games in that second half, and I think as brutal as that beginning start is, once Trubisky gets in there and starts going, I think he's going to win some games for this team. And I think it's going to be a much more positive outlook in 2018. So I have him right at 6 wins. So some fun stuff there. That does it for our NFL predictions, except real quick, I did want to get your guys' NFC West predictions. We're not going to spend too much time on it here, but I have San Fran in 4th, the Rams in 3rd, the Cardinals in 2nd, and the Seahawks winning the division at 12-4. I'm assuming your guys aren't much different, but throw them out there. Start with you, Jordan.
Mine's exactly the same. I have the Niners coming in dead last. I mean, that team's not too great. The Rams, they'll pick it up this year, but it won't be enough to, you know, kind of make a splash and fight for a playoff spot. Cardinals, solid team still, so you know you have there. And obviously the Seahawks, they've owned that division for a couple seasons now, and they'll continue to do the same thing this year.
Alex,
it's the same. 49ers will be in the cellar. I think they won't get any more than 3 or 4 wins. Rams will kind of inch their way closer to 500, but they won't be 500. I think that they've got some pretty decent pieces there, but just not enough. Cardinals, veteran team, should still be in there, should be around the 500 mark, I think, and maybe at least making somewhat of a push for the playoffs, but I don't know if there'd be really huge favorites considering what happened last year and some of their guys aging. Seahawks really should easily win that division. I mean, by far the most talent, a lot of experience, not much else to say. Seahawks, that's their division to win.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks a lot, and even though, you know, I don't think they're a 13-14 talent-wise team, in that division, they might go 6-0 or at least 5-1. I mean, I don't see any way San Fran beats them. L.A.'s got a really good defense, and I actually remember, if I'm not mistaken, if I look at their games against Seattle last year, they did beat Seattle 9-3 in week 2. So, and that was when Seattle was just absolutely inconsistent offensively. So we'll see. A lot of people, I'm not saying are high on the Rams, but I see a lot of people having the Rams around 500. They do have a really good defense and a really good running back, and sometimes that's what you need. But I think quarterback and receivers, they are nowhere to be found out of Sammy Watkins. But we'll see. But that does it for NFC West predictions. So let's start off, guys, with our playoff teams. We're going to jump into our playoff teams now. We're going to start at the top. Just tell me how many teams you have going to the playoffs in each division, and we'll start at the AFC East. In the AFC East, the lone team I have in the playoffs is the New England Patriots. So if you guys say New England, and if you guys have any wild card teams thrown in there, let me know. But my lone team in the playoffs is New England in the AFC East. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to go off of in that division. I mean, New England kind of owns that, as they have for seasons now. And there's not really much talent outside of them, so I just have the Patriots as well.
Alex, are you making it 3 for 3?
Yeah, I am. I think the Miami Dolphins can make somewhat of a push, but I just don't think they're going to have quite enough to do it. So, yeah, New England, that's going to stay there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Miami can do. I mean, they made the playoff last year with Tannehill, and I don't think they're losing a whole lot with Cutler. But I don't know. I mean, Buffalo, I think, could surprise us a little bit. Miami could. It's tough to put them in some of these other teams in the AFC. In the AFC North, I also only have one playoff team, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're one of the best teams in the NFL. Cincy, I think, is around a 500 team. Baltimore, the same. Cleveland, I think, is going to take a few strides, but they're still a year or two away. And I think Pittsburgh, again, in a very winnable division, I think has a pretty damn good record and is probably going to be the 2 seed in the AFC. So they are my lone team in the AFC North. Jordan?
Once again, I'm on the same train as the Steelers coming out of that division. The Bengals, I feel like, are a solid team and could be a playoff team, barring some things going their way this season, but at this rate, I don't think that they're going to make it.
Alex?
Yep, I have the Steelers winning the division, and I think the Bengals will just miss a playoff spot. I think they're going to be above 500 again. I think they'll be a very competitive team. I just think they're not quite going to make it to the playoffs.
Right, I see. I'm on my notepad. I see you guys both have them at 9-7. So you guys both have them just missing it, it seems like. Let's take it over to the AFC South. Interesting division, kind of known as one of the weaker ones in the NFL for a few years. I think it's definitely improved a little bit here. I have Tennessee winning the division at 10-6, and I also do have Houston still getting into the playoffs. I think their defense is too good. I have them getting in with a 9-7 record. So I have Tennessee and Houston coming out of the AFC South. Jordan?
For me, it's a little different. I have the Titans at 12-4 coming out of there as a division winner. Outside of that, no one's really coming close.
All right, Alex?
Yeah, I definitely think the Titans are going to win the division, and I think the Texans are going to squeak in as a wild card. Like you said, E-Rock, very, very, very good defense, and I think that if they stay healthy, that's enough talent to at least get them a spot.
I agree. I think even with the quarterback issue, even if Watson isn't there to start the season, Savage, I mean, they've made the playoffs a few consecutive seasons with abysmal quarterback play. And even though Denver's in a very similar position in the AFC West, I think they're going to be fighting for a spot as well. And their defense is just as good, if not better, but they're in the AFC West. And I feel like the fact that the Texans are in the South gives them a little bit of a one-up advantage and has more winnable games. But let's take it to the AFC West. Jordan, sounds like you got a lot of playoff teams in there. I have two, which rounds out my 6 teams in the AFC. I have the Chargers winning the division, a little bit of a surprise here at 11-5. And I do have Oakland taking a little bit of a step back from last year, but I do have them getting in the playoffs at 10-6. How about you, Jordan?
Yeah, that's my division for this season. I mean, that's a pretty balanced division. A lot of talent going on over there and a lot of wins, too. I have the Broncos, obviously, at 12-4, winning that division, coming out on top, but not too far behind. My two wild card teams will be the Oakland Raiders at 10-6, and Kansas City will also finish 10-6. I mean, that team on paper doesn't look too great. You know, Ware went down. You have Hunt now coming in there and trying to step it up and secure that role. I mean, when you're playing in Arrowhead, it's just like Seattle, where it's loud. You know, you can kind of get rattled. and that's gonna be their kryptonite, not kryptonite for them, but other teams' kryptonite going into there, having to try to win out there. It's gonna be tough. So I mean, this team on paper doesn't look great, but I like them going into this season.
All right, Alex, what do you got in the AFC West?
Yeah, I think I'm going to choose the Oakland Raiders to win the division. I think they're the most talented group, and they got a lot of young talent, and I think that's going to take them far. The Kansas City Chiefs, grindy team that doesn't have a lot of superstar talent but has a lot of solid talent, well-coached, gets the job done. I think they'll be the other wild card team. I think Denver is going to be just like the Bengals. I think they're just going to barely miss it. I don't trust the offense fully right now. I know their defense is good, but I just don't know if it's going to be enough. So that's kind of why I'm a little hesitant on them. But if Denver did end up getting into the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, you can't go wrong in the AFC West because, like you said, Kansas City has done it year in and year out. I personally have them taking a down year. But, again, they've shown year in and year out they're a consistent football team. Denver, arguably the best defense in the league. How do you not like that? This is going to be a really, really tough division, and I think it's kind of a crapshoot. I think it is. I mean, you could really go with anyone. I don't think any of those picks are wrong or totally off the wall at all. Maybe my Charger 11-5 one is, but we'll see about that. But, yeah, so that's our playoff teams. We'll go to the NFC in a second, but let's finish up the AFC real quick. AFC Championship, I personally – have Pittsburgh, New England. I mean, I could try to sneak in a Tennessee or someone else there in Oakland. I think that'd be fun to see, but I think we're going to see another Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, AFC Championship. And I'll tell you what, I hate picking them because I think it's just so obvious, but I'm going to do it. I'm tired of being wrong on this because they're just so damn good. I have New England representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. Jordan, what's your championship looking like?
I have the Patriots coming out of that. I mean, obviously, it's kind of hard to not pick this team with the weapons they secured this past offseason and the success they had last year. They'll be tested, though, I feel like, in that AFC Championship game against Denver, who is a stout defense, but their offense isn't good enough, I feel, to defeat a team like New England. So you'll see Tom Brady in the bowl once again.
All right, Alex, you're going to make it 3-for-3, or are you going to shock the world here?
Well, I am going to pick the New England Patriots to represent the AFC, but here's my little somewhat bold prediction. I think that they're going to face off against the Raiders in the championship. I am going really high on the Raiders. I want to change things up a little bit. I want to be high on a young team, and if they all stay healthy, especially their quarterback, then I think they can make a really big difference and surprise people by getting to the championship, but hard to see them beating Tom Brady. So I am going to pick the New England Patriots to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. But I think Oakland is going to be their final test before they get there.
And that'd be great to see. I'd love to see that matchup. That would be a really, really fun one, no doubt about it. The young and upcomers in Oakland going against the old guys in New England. That would be fun. So we all got New England representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. Let's turn it to the NFC predictions here. We'll start with the East as well. In the NFC East, I have the New York Giants making the playoffs. And this has been the toughest one for me yet. It's really been between two teams here in the NFC. I can't quite pick where to go. It's been tough on me. I am actually going to say kind of a bold prediction here. I think they are going to be the lone team in the playoffs for the NFC East. I think Dallas takes a step back with or without Zeke. I just got a weird feeling about them this year. I could be totally wrong. They could go 13-3 again, but I'm going to say the Giants are the lone team in the NFC East. Jordan?
I mean, I had the Giants making the playoffs as well. That's a solid team. They've got a lot more weapons this year. That's the biggest thing for me. If you have weapons, you're going to be able to succeed, and they have those. But I also have the Cowboys winning their division and making it alongside the Giants.
All right, Alex?
Yeah, I'm going to go closer to what Jordan said. I think both those teams will be in the playoffs. However, I'm going to switch it a little and say Dallas is going to be a wild card, and the Giants are going to win the division. I think that Zeke is going to be a very big factor on how many games they win, but I still think they're talented enough to win enough games regardless to get into the playoffs. But we know what the established Giants team is, and we know what they can do, and I think that they have a great chance to really make a push this year, and I think they're going to win the division with Dallas right behind them as a wild card.
All right, that's a big one there. I again, it's going to be really hard if Dallas doesn't make it, but I just got a weird feeling about it. I got to trust my gut. NFC North, I have the Green Bay Packers making the playoffs, obviously winning that division. And even though they got to such a hot start last year and fell apart completely, I do have the Vikings getting in at 9-7. I think they make a playoff push this year. I think Detroit comes way down. Minnesota picks up that slack a little bit. I like their defense. I think Dalvin Cook's going to bring them some type of running game, and that's what they sorely missed last year, and that probably could have gotten them in the playoffs if they had any type of running game. I think Minnesota does get in at 9-7. Jordan?
Yeah, for me, I had the Pack. Obviously, that's a solid team. Year in and year out, you have Aaron Rodgers. You can't, you know, not bet on them. But they're my only team that I have coming into the playoffs out of that division. I do have, however, the Vikings winning 10 games, but due to stipulations and whatnot when it comes to seeding, I think they're going to miss it just slightly.
All right. Alex?
Yeah, Green Bay is going to win the division. I don't think there's very much questions there. And I think that the other wild card team will be the Vikings. They'll just get in because their defense is really good. I think, like you said, Cook adds some of the running game. Sam Bradford, I think that he can be decent enough to help with the passing game. And you get all those guys on the field, I think that's enough to make a wild card run.
I agree. And you know what the crazy thing is? I don't know if you guys get Sports Illustrated. I got Sports Illustrated this week, and I always love the big baseball, football preview ones. They have the Minnesota Vikings winning the division, but Green Bay is still making the Super Bowl, which is interesting. They have the Vikings and Packers both going 11-5, but the Vikings winning the division, but the Packers making the Super Bowl. So kind of interesting there. Let's move to the NFC South. Obviously, this is Jordan's team in the Carolina Panthers. I have Atlanta winning the division at 11-5. I think that offense at times last year just looked extremely just unstoppable. It was mind-boggling to see that team work. And I don't think they're going to be as dominant as they were last year, but I do think they have just too good of an offense and a good enough defense to not win this division. I have them going 11-5. And I do have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers moving up a game, getting to 10-6. I think Winston takes another step up. I think this team overall takes another step up, and I think they are the second wild card in the NFC. Jordan?
I mean, yeah, obviously I have the Panthers at 12-4. Again, the strength of their schedule is very weak. I think this team underperformed last season and will come out the gates hot this year. They'll win the division and reclaim what's rightfully theirs and make it out of that division. I also, like you said, I have the wild card going to the Buccaneers. They'll be the second wild card alongside the Giants. Winston's been stepping it up. Their offense is looking fantastic with DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans. If you have Doug Martin coming back and playing like he can from 2015, you know, that's a big threat in the backfield, and their defense is as good as any. So I have him coming out and actually making a postseason debut.
All right. Alex, if I'm not mistaken, I think you do have your two wild cards already in Minnesota and New York or Dallas or Dallas.
Right.
But I'm all right. So you got who's your winner? You got Atlanta out there.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards Atlanta. Now we've seen in the past where the Super Bowl runner-up kind of takes a flop the next year so many times. But I just think the Falcons are really talented, and if they all stay on the field, that they will win the division. The Panthers and the Buccaneers, they're going to make this wild card run so good, because I do think the Panthers will step back up this year. I don't think they're as bad as they were last year. They're clearly a very talented team. Tampa Bay's obviously got a lot of talent, but I don't know why. Tampa Bay is one of those teams where I think they'll be good, but I think they won't be as good as some people think. I don't really have any rational explanation for that. I just kind of think that. But I still think they'll be above 500. I think they could have another 9-7 like season. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to be in the wild card race. The Panthers are going to be in the wild card race. It's going to be a really tight wild card race in the NFC. I think the Falcons do win the division.
All right, NFC West. Obviously, we have all, I think, got our wild cards underway. From earlier, we did all pick the Seattle Seahawks. I got them going 12-4. I think they're just too good on both sides of the football. I think they're in an extremely weak division. Although I will say this, I did think about having the Cardinals getting in. I was high on them last year. They kind of screwed me over a little bit. But there's something about that team. I mean, you look at their offense, Palmer, David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. There's something about that team that still makes me kind of want to go with them. John Brown, again, one of the best running backs in the league, and Johnson, the defense, Honey Badger, Patrick Peterson. I wanted to put them in, but I couldn't quite do it. I think they're still a solid football team, though, but I do think their window is closing with Carson Palmer. So my lone team is the Seahawks, and I think you guys are the same. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, that team overall is solid. They have talent. They have some big names on that squad. But, I mean, you're playing in a division with the Seahawks, and they have even bigger names on that squad. You're going to be a good team. It's much like the Chiefs and Raiders in the AFC West. Like, you have one son of a team that's ahead of you most of the time. You're well-known, but, I mean, it's tough to kind of play second fiddle and get into the wild card when you only have two spots.
Alex?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that the Seahawks are going to win this division. I think the Cardinals at best will be 8-8. I think there is talent on that team, but you know, a lot of it's getting older. So I don't know. I think with a lot of the rough and tough defenses around that team, it might be a little harder for them, but I think they'll at least be good enough to be a 500 team. They got a great coach, really good, smart football player in Carson Palmer. So they'll definitely be competitive. I just don't see them making a postseason run. The Rams will be improved. The 49ers, I think, 3-4 wins at the very best. But, yeah, it's Seahawks should easily take this one.
All right, so that wraps up our NFC playoff teams, which leads us to who we have in the championship and representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. This was a tough one for me. For some reason, I feel like the NFC is quite a bit harder to pick this year than the AFC. I kind of fiddled with a few teams here and there. Personally, I have – It is really, really tough because it's hard to go against Aaron Rodgers, and I hate the Packers. I fiddled with them in the NFC Championship a little bit here and there. But personally, I do have the Giants going against the Packers in the NFC Championship game. I like both these teams a lot outside of actually liking the Packers, but I think they're a talented team. I personally think, and I'll say it as a Bears fan, I think Rodgers is the most talented quarterback to ever play the position, and he's going to keep this team in there regardless. But I do think the Giants are a more balanced team. I think with a running game, this Giants team is going to be the best team in the NFC. I'm just really high on them this year. I think the Giants are going to be in the Super Bowl. And, yes, that means Eli Manning versus Tom Brady, part three. Jordan?
Yeah, for me, you may think it's some sort of a biased statement, but, again, this team's strength of schedule is just fairly easy to handle for them. I feel like the Panthers will be in the NFC Championship and back to their heyday as they were – 2-3 years ago when they made the Super Bowl. They'll link up with Seattle, and as far as who wins that game, I honestly can't tell you. These teams tangle with each other more often. It's way more often than I would like. I've seen the game go either way. I've seen Cam and company overcome this defense, you know, and, you know, kind of hold their own and win these games. I've also seen them lose games fairly easily. Most of the time, it's a pretty fairly balanced game. Both defenses are fairly solid. Both offenses are fairly solid. So I can't give you a winner in that game. I can't tell you who's representing the NFC in the Super Bowl just yet. We'll have to wait and see. But I have the Seattle Seahawks and Carolina facing off for a chance to go to the promised land, per se.
All right, before we get to Alex, here's the thing, Jordan. We can't allow that. You got to pick someone. We can't allow that. If you want to pick your Panthers, you're going to have to go balls out.
If I have to pick, looking at – who's on the roster right now, basing it off of on paper players and not actually who's on the field, how they're playing, I have to go with Seattle at this point.
All right. Alex, your turn.
E-Rock, I kind of had the same feeling of you. I see a Giants-Packers NFC championship. I think that just both those teams, they always know how to get it done at the right times. And I am going to agree with you. I think the Giants could very well be the representation of the NFC in the Super Bowl. Part three, Manning, Brady. That would be something to see. Because that'd probably honestly be the last time we get a chance to see it. So if you wanted to see it one more time, I think this is the year to do it.
And would that not generate some of the biggest storylines we've ever had? Because Brady would obviously be cemented. His legacy's already cemented. But he could get another ring. But if Eli was to somehow go out there and get ring number three, there's going to be a lot of people out there going, well, Brady lost three Super Bowls. Brady didn't get it. I mean, I know Brady's the greatest. I know he's got all the rings, but man, oh man, would that generate some fun storylines there. I think that'd be a fun one, the Giants and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. If I'd want to see any team against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, it probably would be the Giants, or I can't believe I'm saying this, the Packers, just because Rodgers and Brady in the Super Bowl, how would that not be fun? I know I don't want the Packers to win, being a Bears fan. I want them to be horrible, but to see the two greatest quarterbacks possibly ever playing it out in the Super Bowl. We have not seen that yet, and I think that'd be a lot of fun as well. All right, so now it's the Super Bowl winners. We got the Giants. I got Giants-Patriots. Alex also has Giants-Patriots. Jordan has Seahawks and Patriots as well. So are we going 3-for-3 with the Patriots here? Even though I say Patriots are the easy, fun pick to do each and every year, I'll say it. I'll go Giants. I think Eli gets a third ring, which is crazy to think. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, last time we saw these two teams, Seattle and the Patriots, face off, we all know what happened and how that game was sealed. I feel like this Seattle team, you know, won't make that mistake twice. And if you're going to take down someone like Brady, you have to be consistent on defense. You have to be consistent on offense. And if this team can find a way to keep Russell Wilson upright all season long and healthy, and find holes for Lacy and Rawls to run through, this team can be pretty deadly. And I feel like if it comes down to a big game like that, Seattle takes it.
All right, Alex?
I am going to agree with you again, Eric. I am going to go Eli Manning gets his third ring.
All right. I think
that this is his last ring. Obviously, I don't think he's done, and the Giants should continue to be a competitive team. But I just think that this is the year for him to get his final ring and that he can do it.
All right. So, and you know what's weird, Alex? I don't remember who we had in the NFC making the playoffs last year. But if I'm not mistaken, I think me and you both had the Steelers in the Super Bowl winning it. So we're both going with the same pick here. So hopefully we look a little bit better than last year. But overall, yeah, I got the Giants winning it. Alex has the Giants winning it. Jordan, you have the Seahawks winning it. Here's my thing on the Seahawks. Weird thing about the Seahawks. I think they're in an easy division. I think they win 11, 12 games. They'll get the job done there. I got a weird feeling they might get beat in the first round to a wild card team, whether that be Minnesota, whether that be Tampa Bay or something. That offensive line last year, I liked the Seahawks a lot. But when they played Atlanta and Russell Wilson literally snapped the ball and had to start running immediately, that scares me a lot. I hope they fixed it. But there's something about Seattle in the playoffs where I feel like they could get beat early, but we will see. Before we finish up the show and give our kind of like MVP / rookie of the year picks, I did want to say, if there's one team you don't have making the playoffs, even below 500, that you think could surprise this year, who is it? I will start off. I will say it's tough because obviously these are our predictions, so it's not like, you know, we think this is going to happen. But I will say if there is one team to kind of stun people and get in somehow, some way, I will say it is the Buffalo Bills. Jordan?
For me, that's pretty bold as the Bills kind of took a step this year. But if we're talking, you know, chances here and we're giving a team, you know, a nice breath of life here. If Andrew Luck can come back full-fledged Andrew Luck from the first couple seasons when he was all banged up, I think the Colts have a solid chance to make it out of their division. I mean, you have teams like the Texans who are a strong defense, yes. Titans are a strong team overall-wise. But, I mean, if your offense can carry you like this Colts offense has in the past, I really can't doubt Luck and T.Y. Hilton over there. I mean, you have T.Y., Luck, the Aegis Wonder, Frank Gore over there. That offense is pretty stellar when those guys work together in unison. And if any team can kind of break out and surprise me this season, it's going to be the Colts if Luck's healthy.
That's a smart pick because, like you said, they've done it before. Alex, if there's one team you don't have making the playoffs that you think could get in, who is it?
The New Orleans Saints under Drew Brees.
Okay.
I don't think I've explained much about that. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, no, and you know what's funny is I looked at the Bills and I looked at the Saints. I really thought Saints, just because they're going to throw a lot. He's going to throw for 5,000 yards. They're going to put up a lot of points. Maybe they win some shootouts. I thought about it as well, and you picked the right division because the NFC South, as we've known the last 5-6 years, has been so flippy-floppy. There's been no consistency in there at all. All right. Let's turn to the awards real quick, guys. We'll start with Rookie of the Year. We'll just do offensive. But it's been tough for me because I think it's going to be one of the running backs. I think it's going to be a McCaffrey or a Fournette. I got a weird feeling McCaffrey's going to win it. I think this guy's got some really big talent. I think he's going to have over 800 yards rushing. I think he's going to have 600-700 yards receiving. I think he's going to have 10-plus touchdowns on the year. I think he makes that Carolina Panthers really dynamic. And like I said, I don't have them in the playoffs, but I will not be surprised at all if they make it. I think McCaffrey is going to light the world on fire this year. Jordan, are you going to make it 2-for-2?
You already know I'm making it 2-for-2. And, I mean, I'm in the same boat as in regards to there's going to be one of the running backs. So they're going to make the biggest impact on those both of those teams. We're talking Fournette, talking McCaffrey. The thing that scares me the most about Fournette is he could be the workhorse there and put up monster numbers, but they've already came out and said it's going to be a committee, so they're going to take away some of his carries and give them to T.J. Yeldon or Chris Ivory. And he's not really the biggest threat in the pass game, so he's not as versatile as McCaffrey will be in the offense in Carolina, so he'll get more opportunities, resulting in more yards, more touches, and then your numbers are going to look better off that way. So it's McCaffrey's probably my favorite as well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of rookie running backs that look like they're going to be starting this year, especially Kareem Hunt in Kansas City now, and they run the ball a ton. Joe Mixon, like we said, Fournette, McCaffrey. There's a lot of rookie running backs, Dalvin Cook in Minnesota. It'll be interesting. Alex, are you going to stick with the running back position, or what do you got?
Yeah, I'm making it 3-for-3. I think he's going to tear things up there. And I think it's going to be kind of a close competition because some of the rookies, if they're going to play a full year, may have an opportunity to, you know, win something there. But I really like his chances.
All right, let's move it to the big award of the year, MVP. I'll say it. I think it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't like the Packers, but I think you could argue he should have won it last year. I think he wins it this year. He's just absolutely ridiculous. You could argue he should have 2 or 3 already. Again, I don't like the Packers. I don't think they're going to make the Super Bowl. But in terms of regular season and this and that, I think Aaron Rodgers takes it home another MVP. Jordan?
Let me throw you a curveball here. I have 3 names down. Rodgers, Brady. Obviously 2 favorites. No one's going to, you know, not defend those guys, but fight you on that. But my favorite this year for MVP, Le'Veon Bell. I think Le'Veon Bell has a legitimate shot to win MVP. Looking at his numbers last season, he had 1,884 all-purpose yards, and he missed 4 games. I did some of the math number crunching. If he would have been on pace for those 4 games, what he did through the 12 that he played, he would have 2,511 all-purpose yards, 1,690 on the ground, 821 through the air. Like, how can you not give this man an award? It's a contract year for him. He wants to prove he's one of the best running backs, one of the best receivers in the league. He wants that big, big money. He's going to make big, big plays for this team, and he just might make a case for MVP.
Yeah, he is my favorite player to watch in the NFL, and I actually hope you're right because I think the award has turned into so much of a quarterback award. It seems impossible for a wide receiver or a running back to win it, so I actually hope you're right. Alex?
I got to go Aaron Rodgers. He's just too darn good. He makes everything look so easy. I think he'll have another chance to win an MVP, and I think he's got one of the best chances. I think obviously behind that you have a Tom Brady, but as for regular season, I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers.
All right. So that does it for awards and our playoff picks. A lot of fun stuff here. We did our Bears preview show to start the show. Before we predict the first Thursday night game, which will start our week-by-week predictions, is there any last big, bold predictions you want to throw out there so you guys can look super-duper smart, whether it be player or team-wise? Or you guys got it all out already? Jordan?
For the most part, I think I've gotten it all out. I mean, I've got the Panthers straight dominating, as they should. There's not really much, like you said, parity in the league per se to go forward. I mean, you know who's going to be good. You know who's going to win most divisions. So to make anything bold at this point is kind of, you know, unnecessary.
All right, Alex.
All right, you ready for this one? I'm going to go bold. Jay Cutler is going to have the best year of his career.
All right.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here, right here.
All right. That would be awesome to see. I will be very much riding that train, and I hope you are right there as well. And I could see that with the receiving core he has and, you know, what they're going to have to do. He's got a good running game where he doesn't have to rely too much on himself. You know what, Alex? I think he might be – that's a really good prediction. I like that one.
Coaching, especially for me, with that system, I love that.
Right, I do too, and that's why I think that Miami's not losing a whole lot. And I said the same thing last year when Bridgewater went down with Minnesota. I don't think Miami's losing a whole lot at all. In fact, yes, he might turn the ball over a little bit more than Tannehill. I think talent-wise, he's still better. I mean, you can talk about the maturity, the leadership, and all that, but we will see. It'll be a fun season. All right, last minute of the show here. Let's hear it, guys. We're going to start our week-by-week predictions. Alex comes in as defending champ. We will predict the rest of the Week 1 games later this week, but we probably won't get on again before Thursday. So let's get it out of the way. New England and Kansas City. Thursday night opening kickoff, I have New England winning this game. Obviously, one of my big, bold predictions is the Patriots could very well go 16-0. Obviously, the Edelman injury might affect that a little bit, but I'll stick with it. I don't see them losing this game, although I did say – if they were to lose one and give a hiccup, it could be the opening game Thursday night, nationally televised. Who knows? But I will stick with the safe pick here and go New England. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a safe pick for sure. It's not as safe as, like, you know, if they're playing the Browns or whatnot, there is a chance they can lose this game. But I feel the same way. I mean, the Patriots are going to be able to showcase their new toys, as we can call them, with Cooks, Gillisley, Burkhead, those guys, Gilmore. They're going to be able to show them off on the biggest stage outside the Super Bowl. You're kicking off the NFL season. Everyone's going to be watching. All eyes are on you. The Patriots, if any team's going to do it the best and on a stage like this, it's going to be Belichick and Brady. You can't really bet against them this week.
All right, Alex?
Going to make it three for three. I think it's going to be a close game. I think there's going to be a lot of fun in this game with how close it's going to be, but I think they do pull it out.
All right. Well, I'm just going to copy all your picks this year, Alex, because you won last year. You did take it away, and you did it. There was close points throughout the year, but towards the end you did pull away and take it. So let's see if me and Jordan can come back. Jordan in his debut season, we'll see how he does. But that wraps it up for NFL predictions. Did all the divisions. We got all our playoff picks, awards, Super Bowl picks out of the way. And now it's just time for kickoff and the season to get underway. Thursday night is when it starts. Sunday, the Bears kickoff. We will be going week-to-week predictions. Still not 100% sure if we will do post-game shows. We'll have to get the schedules out and see if we will do – me and Alex will do Bears post-game shows. We will see about that. Obviously, when Trubisky comes in and all that, we will definitely be all on board. So have fun with that. And like I said, week-by-week predictions will probably be every Friday, so be on the lookout for that as well. And obviously, I know we haven't given the Cubs too much attention because we've had to cram these shows in, but they will be talked about very, very soon. We will have another show about them this week. So a lot of fun stuff coming up here on Sports Sanity in September. Playoffs, baseball is coming up in less than a month. That's going to be a lot of fun, or just about a month. And hopefully the Cubs can hold on to the division lead there. And obviously the NFL kickoff. So a lot of fun stuff coming up here on Sports Sanity, and we hope you stick with us. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. This is your host, E-Rock, joined by my co-hosts, Alex and Jordan. And we will see you later in the week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Sanity Live. Stay up to date with our program by following us on Twitter at SportsSanityBTR for in-depth news and radio show broadcasting updates.